This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Christ is risen, and I'm prepping you for the third time. Christ is risen, and you say together once more, "He is risen indeed." Yes, indeed. Today we dress, oftentimes in our very best springtime outfits, and there are no notes of sadness or worry, grief or fear in our greetings to one another this morning. And if there's one word that can sum it up all, it's the word victory. Victory. You know, in our hymnal on page 473 is the hymn, "Victory in Jesus." I like to share those spirited, hopeful, and ever so true words at this time. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. However, how different it was early on that first Easter morning. As Mark tells us in our gospel, the three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, didn't greet one another with such great joy. There were no alleluias, no notes of joy in their hushed whisper. They were grieving. They were devastated. They had seen their beloved Jesus, their teacher, stripped of not only his clothes, but every possible shred of human dignity, murdered in the most horrible way possible, and laid in a garden tomb. Sundown and the Sabbath approached quickly. The shops were all closed, and so they could not even purchase the proper spices to anoint and honor his body, and in some small way return to him the dignity that had been so cruelly, cruelly taken away. They had a big worry. Their biggest one this morning was the heavy stone that had been placed at the entrance to Jesus' tomb. Who would move it away for them so they could perform the duties of love and honor for their teacher, their friend, their Lord? They had absolutely, absolutely no idea of the news that awaited them. They had seen Jesus die, couple days before. Dead people stay that way, right? So they gathered quietly with their heads down, speaking their few words in hushed whispers. The women knew that all the followers of Jesus were now in grave danger. But love called them to risk their very lives. The disciples and Peter, especially Peter, who had, and you know what I'm about ready to say next, denied him 3 times. They had all run away and were now in hiding and hadn't yet heard that call. When the women arrived at the tomb, visualize this. Can you imagine their surprise to see the heavy stone already rolled away and a handsome young man in a white robe sitting there as if just waiting for this moment, just for them? Who was he? Where did he come from? The questions evaporated in their amazement at his words. I quote once again, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, see for yourselves. There is the place where they laid him." Today's story ends with the 3 women in complete shock, amazed and terrified, resolving to say nothing to anyone. Mark is the only one of the 4 canonical gospels that contains no resurrection appearance. Or does it? Does it? Who was that young man in the white robe anyway? Many scholars believe that Mark's actual gospel ends right here at verse 8, and that both the shorter ending and the longer ending we find in our modern Bibles were added soon after the original copies of Mark's gospel began to be circulated by Christians who already knew about the resurrection and felt the story needed some, quote, rounding out. Now, obviously, the women did finally tell someone, right? They must have, or we wouldn't be here this morning to celebrate and worship the risen Lord. The risen Lord. No, they couldn't keep quiet. They couldn't keep quiet. Their entire lives had been radically changed in an instant with the words, "He has been raised. He is not here." Question: how has your life been radically changed by that good news? That Jesus is risen, that his dead body no longer lies behind a large, heavy stone in front of a garden tomb? Or the flip side of that question: is the heavy stone still in place for you, separating you from the risen Lord? Are you still afraid, like those 3 women, to proclaim the good news that Jesus is risen? What would that stone look like if it were still firmly in place, keeping you, keeping me, from seeing Jesus, really knowing, quote, "He is not here," meaning the grave, and living the rest of your life with that knowledge deep in your heart? Several points, and they're in your outline if you wish to follow, and we're going to look at stones for just a few moments. How about the stone of unbelief? You know, there are lots of very smart people on the backside of that stone. There's even a group of scholars, I would call them, people with more degrees than you or I will ever acquire in a lifetime, who teach at universities and even in some seminaries. They call themselves the, quote, Jesus Seminar. They write lots of books. They say that the resurrection of the Lord, oh, it's a lovely story. And that was circulated among the early Christians to give people hope and comfort. But it didn't really happen. They say, oh, there's no proof. They speak, ready for this one, of a pre-Easter Jesus and a post-Easter Jesus. Sound confusing? However, you and I know differently. There is proof, abundant proof. There is eyewitness evidence that would stand up in any court of law. St. Peter, yes, that's the same Peter who denied knowing Jesus three times and ran away to hide, declares boldly that he is an eyewitness, not only to all Jesus did in Judea and Jerusalem, but that, quote, God raised him from the dead on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And that everyone, you, all of you, me, who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. The Apostle Paul speaks of more than 500 who were also eyewitnesses, and he speaks of his own personal encounter with the risen Lord. And he says to us, and I quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." As I said, the reference is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. What do these eyewitnesses want us to know? They beg us to believe and to receive God's gift of what? Eternal life. So today, if not already done, let Jesus roll the stone of unbelief away. How about the stone of ignorance? Another question for you, friends. Have you committed yourself to the faithful reading and study of God's word every day? Do you ask God in prayer each morning what he would have you to do with what you have learned from his word? May I encourage you? Three things. Begin each day, if you're an AM person. I'm kind of an AM person, you know. So begin each day with the study of God's word. Good way to start your day. Participate in a Bible study. Fairview has a number of them for you, men and women. Maybe even take a course at a local seminary or even online. I might have shared with you in the past when I think about the power of the gospel and the resurrected Lord, it was about 50, on the year 2000, I was, let's say, 50-something at that point. And I always look at that as part of my testimony, how the Lord called me into service for him. But I thought about that, and I thought, well, Lord, I really need training. I really need, you know, to know more about you. Well, he took care of that also. And he provided the time and the resources. And in a sense, I look at it as Oswald Chambers once said, my or Dennis's utmost for his highest. And therefore, you know, through seminary training and advanced education, have been able to serve him, which has been a joy, just a tremendous joy. How about the stone of blindness? The stone of blindness. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40, and I am saying Jesus' words to you now, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes to clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will say, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. The question for you and I this morning is this: how blind are you to the needs of the people around you? You know, friends, even if you aren't sure where or what you can do to help, at the very least, you can pray. And when you do that, because you have noticed and have listened, because you are no longer, quote, blind, God will show you ways of more concrete help. He's very good at that, by the way. We cannot fix, friends, all the awful things that are wrong in our world. You know that, and I know that. It is a sinful and it's a broken place, that it is. Yet, redeemed by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let that stone of blindness roll it away. Roll it away. Then there is the stone of familiarity. We know the Easter story so well. We hear it every year. And today we dress up. We enjoy the glorious music, which we just had a few moments ago, and we admire the pretty flowers that are down in our foyer at this time. We celebrate the happy ending. But do we know it so well that it no longer makes a difference in our lives? Do we remember that the happy ending is really just the beginning? Do we remember how we got here? On Maundy Thursday, just a few days ago, did you stop to consider what Jesus' institution of the sacrament of Holy Communion means in your life? Or that commandment that he gave to love one another as he has loved each of them? Because he said, by this you will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. On Good Friday, a couple days ago, did you read from the Gospel of John or Mark, the crucifixion of our Lord? Did you have a personal prayer time during the day to reflect upon the last words of Jesus? Yesterday, did you feel a sense of loss and darkness on Holy Saturday because Christ lay in the tomb behind a heavy stone? If you are thinking, it's Easter, Dennis, it's Easter, let's lose all of those, you know, depressing images, then look to see if the heavy stone still lies between you and the amazing miracle we celebrate this day. But if those thoughts and feelings sound very recently familiar to you, then the stone has been rolled away. Quote, he is not here. He has been raised. See the place where they laid him. Then you can say with me, as the psalmist did, the Lord is my strength and my song. Two, he has become my salvation. And three, Jesus Christ has opened for us the gates of righteousness. Let us enter and offer our thanks to the Lord. On this day, Easter, the Lord has indeed acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it. One more time. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.